Good afternoon, my amigos, my buddies, chums, comrades, as they say in the Soviet Union, confidants, cronies, mates, as they say in the Brits, and pals. Well, those are terms that we all use and we're familiar with as our friends, right? So what is a friend? You know, some say that a friend is one of the guys who will carry your casket, right? One of the six guys that will carry your casket. But, you know, that's after the fact. When somebody's carrying your casket, some of those people may have regrets that they were not carrying you as a friend through life while you were living. Friends only become friends while we're living, right? I mean, that's the only time we can become friends here on this earth on a short time that we have. People are usually attracted to other people by common interests, and that helps create a bond, a commonality that we strike with friendships. It's true what they say that birds of a feather flock together, whether that's for the good or the bad or a mixture of either one. Our commonalities may include things like the music that we share together. All right, a lot of us like the same music, maybe the books that we read, the types of movies we enjoy, and the same interests, maybe in the same sports. I know I've attended a lot of football games with friends that I have when I was used to be into football. You know, what brings us together here today is our common beliefs that we have in God, isn't it? And most of us probably would have never crossed paths unless God brought us in this house together. A lot of us hang around people who are positive. I think positivity, it attracts more positive people. And a lot of the negative Nellies run in the same packs, too. I don't know if you notice that at work. I just see like all the negative people kind of seem to gravitate to each other. And then the positive people who have goals and higher aspirations seem to kind of click in the same groups. But that's very natural and very normal for us as human beings. We are attracted to people who think the same way we do. You know, when we think of the saying about friends carrying the other casket, I believe friends carry us while we're still living and not when we check out. You know, real friends are there for us when we need them, and real friends uplift us, just not lift our caskets, right? You know, I think one of the things we don't want to forget in life is to tell our friends that we're glad to be with them. And I've noticed some friends of mine and have been saying that, and I really appreciate that. They say, you know, it's nice to be with you, and we, Lisa and I, reciprocate back. We love to be with the people that we are close friends with. Let them know that. Let them know you're glad to be with them. I think too many of us don't express those thoughts and our feelings because you might not get a chance to do it again. There really isn't a guarantee for that. You know, the last act of caring a friend should only be a symbol of what you've done for them in their whole life and not just that last act of carrying that casket for them. As God's people today, I have a question for you. How are we treating our friends? Do we use people, or do we sincerely care for them? Are we on the take? Do we have friends to get what we want from them, or do we have friends because we want to give to them? Have you ever thought about that? Do we strike a friendship because we want to give something to someone else? You know, if we apply the fruits of the Spirit, and I know we know all of them, and if we don't, I'm going to go through them anyways. I'm not going to read. You don't have to turn to Galatians 5. But, you know, the fruits of God's Holy Spirit, that's good friend material. That's what God is looking from each and every one of us. Those are love, joy, goodness, kindness, patience, and man, do I want a friend with patience. Gentleness, peace, faith, and self-control. Those are great friendship characteristics. You know, I believe that God listed love first because love covers all the rest. Love will bring joy, and it naturally will show goodness and kindness and patience with others. Love is definitely gentle, and it's peaceful, and it shows self-control as well, because it is selfless. But does this mean that we have to be best friends with everyone? I think that's a question we have to ask ourselves as God's disciples. You know, we're to treat everyone the way Jesus Christ treated people. I think his example was obviously perfect. And that was with concern, love, and compassion. However, it'd be impossible for each of us to be a best friend to everybody. You know, it's not possible to do that. It's not humanly possible. But I think if we take a moment and we stop and think about how we treat other people, and if we think about people even when we see them, if we think of them about as a potential child of God, you know, I'm sure that it would stop a lot of road rages and a lot of those one-finger salutes on the road, right? You know, I think that I'm trying to do that when I just meet people. When I see somebody, see them driving by in a car, or somebody cuts me off, first thing I'm trying to do is think that's a potential child of God. You know, it's true that Jesus Christ ate with sinners. Did he pal around with the wicked? Yet some will say you're known by the company you keep. But what are we supposed to do as Christians? Do we hang with the sinners or do we cry with the saints? As Billy Joel said. You know, my first point is that, you know, every one of us sins. Every one of us sins. But that's not to say that we're to be hanging with people who practice sin and don't care to make a change in their life. You know, God instructs us how to choose our friends wisely. Let's turn to Proverbs 12:26. Proverbs 12:26. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. So if we're hanging around the wicked, we will eventually be led astray. We need to choose our friends wisely. Proverbs 27:17. And I think we're all familiar with this. Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. We're there for each other. We're there to tell each other, give each other a reality check. We're there to help each other grow. Proverbs 13:20. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. Walk with the wise and become wise. Are we hanging around people who are unwise? Associate with fools and get in trouble. That's definitely a good proverb for our young people as well as our old people. Proverbs 17:17. A friend is always loyal and a brother is born to help in time of need. We want friends who are loyal to us and want friends who will help us when we're in a time of need. You know, and this doesn't mean that we can't help others that are struggling with a sin, because we can do that. The key word is struggling. So when someone's struggling, they're trying to make things different in their life. We need to help those that want help, but those who are flippantly sinning and really don't care, I think God's given us warning in his word not to be hanging with those people. We should be wise and careful not to join circles of friends that aren't healthy for us. Now, Jesus wasn't about to join the Pharisees and the elite Jews in their group, now was he? They didn't see the need for changes. They were doing just fine, thank you very much. That's how the Pharisees, that's how they lived their lives. They thought they were clean, pristine, and shoo-ins with God. I think they're going to have a rude awakening in the second resurrection. It's going to be an unpleasant surprise. You know, the people that were termed as sinners in Mark 2, and we won't turn there today for time's sake, were just like you and me. They were just like you and me. And Jesus befriended them. Many believed he was Messiah. He had a message of hope in a culture that oppressed their citizens. The Jewish citizens were oppressed by both the Jewish leaders of the day, the established religious leadership, and the Romans. And Jesus had an encouraging and positive message for them. They were drawn by his words of compassion, hope, and later understood that this was going to be open to everybody, male, female, Jew, Gentile, slave, free. in contrast to the harsh overlording that the Jewish elites and the burdensome man-made laws that they added to them, as well as the Roman occupation. Many of them were willing to be taught. They were humble. They were responding to the inspirational positive message that Jesus gave them at the time. They were not condemned. They were not the great unwashed, as the elites of the day treated them. Unfortunately, these Sadducees and Pharisees were in the process of placing their own judgments on themselves. You know, Jesus' message was different. It was one of friendship with God. I think we don't realize how different that was to the Jews of the day and to the people living in that area at that time because of the harsh burdens that the Pharisees and scribes put on the people. To be a friend with God, that was something new. That was different. That was foreign thinking to them, to have friendship with God. It was a concept that gave them freedom and a closer relationship. When Jesus was in Matthew's house in Mark chapter 2, you know, he broke societal taboos. A man and a teacher of God with tax collectors and prostitutes and the unwashed, according to the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. Now, Jesus condemned the Pharisees for their legalistic system and their brand of righteousness. He broke bread and spent time with those people that he came to save. Throughout his ministry, Jesus reached out to those that needed him. And the Pharisees and Sadducees didn't think they needed a thing. Kind of reminds me of the Church of Laodicea. Revelation 3, chapter 3, verse 17. They were rich and in need of nothing. Well, they may have been physically wealthy, but they were poverty-stricken spiritually, weren't they? You know, true friends have your best interests at heart. If we love each other, a friend will tell us when we're straying. Maybe, perhaps, we're going to hurt ourselves or maybe hurt those around us, but they'll tell us. They'll let us know. And we need to approach our friends out of love and concern. And when we approach them, sometimes they might not be receptive. If our approach is in love and patience and it's sincere, most of the time our friends will take it to heart, at least our close friends. We should be spiritually prepared when approaching others, if at all possible. So if there's time involved, we should take some prayer time for prayer and fasting beforehand. If it's something we need to do instantly, say a quick prayer in your mind. Is our approach the way that we would want to be approached? I think that's what we need to think in our heads. Okay, what if we approach someone, how would we want to be approached in a situation like that? We need to let people tell their side of the story. We have to give them the chance of that. Not everything is as it appears on the surface. You know, wisdom will often give friends, with wisdom we often give friends time. Not everything needs to be dealt with swiftly. Just think if God dealt with us swiftly all the time. I think God'd have a lot of bruises and bumps. So fortunately, he doesn't do that. So our next scripture, let's turn to Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. And I'm going to read this from the Good News Translation, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. My friends, if someone is caught in any kind of wrongdoing, those of you who are spiritual should set him right. But you must do it in a gentle way, in a gentle way. And keep an eye on yourself so that you will not be tempted too. So there's a warning to us as well. There's a warning here that some friends may take you down with them if you don't have your eyes open. So we need to be careful of that. Be careful not to be caught in a bad attitude when you're in that situation or have uncontrolled anger or join in with their sin if it's a weakness that we have. If we're spiritually weak, perhaps we're not the person to approach someone. It's also telling that, it says, who are spiritual should set him right. You know, there are people who may not respond positively no matter what you do. I mean, there's just people who are different, and some people don't take criticism or advice very well. And we shouldn't be running around giving everybody advice, okay? That's not a good thing either. But we can try to help our friends when we see that there's something happening or maybe they might harm themselves or others. We can only try to do it, and we can't live their lives, though. We can't live their lives for them. Next scripture, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 5, 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another just as you are doing. And that's what we need to do. We need to build and encourage our friends. We need to be friend builders. You know, I couldn't imagine a life without friends. I could not even imagine a life without friends. I love being around people. A life without friends to me would be empty and it would be terribly lonely. You know, God created Eve for a reason. Eve was Adam's friend, his best friend. We're not made to be alone, even if we're not married. God did not make us to be alone. I know some people tell me they could go live up in a cabin in a mountain and just be a hermit. Be my guest. It's not for me. You know, we were created for companionship and to have friends. God created us to be social. You know, and I'll admit, some people are more social than others. And that's true. Just some of us are more social than others. But that doesn't mean we were not created to be social beings. God the Father and Jesus Christ decided they wanted billions of friends. And yes, family, but that's not the topic today. I'm talking on the role of friends today. But he wants billions of friends. Well, Ralph Waldo Emerson is quoted as saying, the only way to have a friend is to be one. We need to be friends. We have to be a friend first to have friends. There are friends, there is family, and there's friends that become family. And I think that's awesome. I think that's what we're doing here today. We're friends that are becoming family, aren't we? You know, friends are truly a wonderful gift. It's not what we have in life, but who we have in our life. People make the difference. People enhance our lives. And it's people that matter. But I think in order to have the best and good friendships in this life, I think we need to work on our best relationship with God and Jesus Christ first. If we're to have good friendships and relationships in this life, I think that's the priority. We need to have a good friendship with God. When we have God as our friend first, we have the ability to become better friends with others. And our relationship with God grows, so does our relationship with other people. When it lacks, so does our relationship with others. It'll be a reflection. It will show in your life. It becomes evident for the way we treat people and the way we interact with people, how our relationship and friendship is with God. If we're snotty, judgmental, sarcastic, and critical with others, I think we have to ask ourselves, is our relationship with God the way it should be? If we're kind, loving, showing outgoing concern for people, we'll attract friendships. We'll grow our friendships, and likely we'll be building and maintaining that good friendship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. Our friendships speak volumes of who we are. You know, one of the best things about our friends is that we get to pick them. Don't we like that? We get to pick our friends, and that's great. We want to be able to pick our friends. We don't pick our family, and we don't pick our church family either. That's up to God. But we do get to choose who we're closest to, even in our families. And we have siblings that we might be closer to. Yeah, but friends are a gift. They aren't always a perfect gift at times, but neither are we. You know, remember to treat your friends like a valued gift. Cherish them and appreciate them. Let's also not forget that God puts people in our lives. He puts people in your lives. He puts friends in your lives. When he does, it's always to help you. It's either to help you build character or it's to help lend a hand in your life. What about the gift of God's friendship in our lives? How much are we cherishing that gift? I think all of us do, but how close are we in that friendship today? Are we investing in the friendship, or are we taking the time that God deserves as our friend? You know, God takes care of our friendship with him 24/7. He's interested in our friendship 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. His friendship never rests, and it never stops nurturing and caring for his people. How often do we communicate with God throughout the day compared to the number of texts and social media posts that we make throughout the day? I want to make this real. I mean, think about it. How many times do you text somebody throughout the day and go on social media, and how many times do we stop and talk to God? You can send a text to God. I don't know if he'll get it, but he'll get it. You could try. I don't think he has it. His address is just speaking to him. You know, we share so much of our lives online. How much do we pour our hearts out to God? How much do we share with him? You know, God chose us out of billions of people to be his confidant and friend. He reached out for our friendship. He loved us even when we're not lovable. He reached out to us first with love and mercy and kindness to be his friend. You know, there's a problem in this world, only they can't see it. Humanity doesn't want to be a friend to God. When they hear his truth, they mostly reject it, or they take what they want on their terms as a friend. And that's not the way God works. You know, in the future, these people will change. Their eyes will be open, as we learn on the eighth day or the last great day. God will open their minds just like he did ours. And that's the beautiful thing of it. God wants to be everybody's friends. You know, Jesus knows the human experience. He became flesh so that we could not only be saved, but better, so he could better understand us. He's a friend that actually knows us better than we know ourselves. And if we're willing, he'll guide us through the tough times in life. He wants to spend the good times with us, but he'll help us through our weaknesses and our flaws so we can reach our potential that he created us for. Because he does know us better than we know ourselves. Only he can help us this way. Nobody else can help you that way that Jesus Christ can, because he knows us better than we know ourselves. Next, let's turn to John 15, 15. John chapter 15, verse 15. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know what his master's business Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. He shares, a friend shares. And it's nice to know that we're no longer called servants. Christ came to clarify that relationship. We're going to be children someday as well as friends. Our relationship is much greater than a servant. Isn't that great? Being called a friend of God's. We're talking about the omnipotent creator, all-powerful, God who could hold the universe in his hand is calling us a friend. I think that's amazing. He'll share and teach us so many new and wonderful things as friends of his in his kingdom. And I'm sure none of us can really grasp the depth of that until we're experiencing that in his kingdom. In John chapter 11, Jesus is touched by the grief of his friends. He has feelings for us. He felt that pain. He was in that physical state. He knows pain greater than any of us do. Mary and Martha were grieving over the loss of their brother Lazarus. And in John chapter 11, verse 14, we'll start there, 11:14. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there so that you may believe. but let us go to him. So Christ went to him, but he lingered. He was showing them that he was the Messiah, that he was the Lord. Now jumping down to verse 32, John 11:32. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And then the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. He cried for his friends. He felt that human pain. He had that deep friendship and emotional bond with them. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he have opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is bad odor. Must have stunk pretty bad. There were 4 days gone by. For he has been there 4 days. And Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with stripes of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. So Jesus resurrected a friend. I know he can't wait to resurrect even more friends at his second coming. He's looking forward to that great day. Think of the attributes of Jesus during this time. I mean, it says Jesus wept. He wept, and it says he was deeply moved. Those are the feelings we have when we build that bond of friendship. There was a close bond that Christ built over time with them. It didn't just happen overnight. He was friends with Martha and Mary and Lazarus. You know, time is how we lay down our lives for our friends and one another. It's how we draw and build on our relationships and friendships. When we reach out to others, when they're struggling, or when we celebrate the good times in life with one another, you know, we're building those bonds of friendship. We'll have the opportunity to join in a joyous occasion with Tim and Cindy next Sunday at their wedding reception. What a happy occasion it is. How awesome that is to see our friends and that they're going to build a stronger and more godly friendship. They'll be sharing in the deepest of friendships in marriage. You know, we can flourish in these times with fulfilling the lasting friendships by using the principles that God's given us. God's given us principles of friendship. A friend is loyal. A friend is someone you can trust. A friend is there in good times and in bad times. They don't just run away when times are bad or when they get angry. A friend isn't envious. They're glad when good things happen to their friends. They're not envious. They don't want to take your house. They don't want to take your bank account. They don't want to take away your other friends, and they certainly don't want to take away your spouse, right? You know, this world proves each day that it's the master of disastrous relationships. All I see is that anything that's online, it's like people are just treating everybody badly. And I'm not even talking wars, I'm talking Hollywood. So that was supposed to be a joke, folks, but I actually don't care what they do in Hollywood. You know, this world proves each day that it is a master of disastrous relationships. But we, brethren, we're different. We're the lights. We're the ones that aren't on that media with these disastrous, I hope, relationships. You know, God intended us to be those lights for them to see. or to be showing them what a friendship can really be like. You know, friendship starts with you. It starts with you. It can also end with you. For those who struggle with friendships, perhaps we need to ask why. It's got to be everybody else, right? They're all flawed. After all, how could someone not like me? What's the matter with everybody? You know, we need to ask ourselves, have we let the ship in friendship set sail? Have we let the ship in friendship set sail? You know, just like building a ship, friendship takes time to build. It takes effort. It takes blood, sweat, and tears sometimes. In order for this ship to stay afloat, they need maintenance just like our friendships need. Our friendships need to be maintained. We need to be building on them. If we neglect to maintain them, both our ships and our friendships can sink. And as a ship needs direction for where it's going, so does our friendship, and especially our true friendship with God. Because the direction we want to be heading in is God's kingdom. And that takes time and it takes effort. In Merriam-Webster Dictionary, the definition of a friend is one attracted to another by affection or esteem. One that favors or promotes something or someone, that's my addition, and someone who uplifts another. A favored companion. You know, we can find some friends on social media, but is that really a friend? You know, when you friend somebody, okay, and I'm not certainly not the master of social media. I can't say I'm on there, and a lot of it's because of my job. And second, I don't have time for it. But I will email you, and I will text you if you text me. Lisa's monitoring my phone. So, but I'll let you decide if these friends are really your friends on social media. And I'd like to take a minute to talk about that, because this is a part of the world that we're dealing with, and it is reality. I want adults and younger folks to listen as well. Social media friends are usually a more casual relationship, and often never even have contact with that person. I would term them as acquaintances. Maybe we acquaintance someone, but doesn't seem to be the term that they want to use. And I think that would be more accurate. But you don't even see these people offline for the most part. And I believe a lot of people we call friends on social media platforms are not close friends at all. You might have some on there, but it's probably only a handful. You know, people brag about I have 1,000+ friends. Do you really? Where are they when you need some money? I just want to ask that question. You know, God is truly amazing, though. So we can't comprehend and really have like 1,000 quality relationship, but God can have billions and billions and probably just countless of quality friendships. How does he do that? I don't know, he has more time than we do. You know, I believe someday that we'll be able to do that too when we're spirit beings. Won't that be an awesome thing to have all those friends in our lives? Now they'll be true friends, good friends. They'll be family. So what's the difference between friends and acquaintances? An acquaintance refers to a person that we are not especially close to. And it actually meant to be a close friend, but it's actually morphed into someone who we're not close to. We wouldn't want to unload our personal lives and tell them our personal problems, would we? Not to an acquaintance. We shouldn't. That should be reserved to our closest trusting friends. And unfortunately, many people have fallen into the trap that they think they have to put everything in their life, including what they eat, online. And I don't get that sometimes. Some of it doesn't even look delicious, but okay. But they share their entire life online. You know, working in cybersecurity, I'm going to tell you that that's a huge mistake and it's risky business. All right? Not only for your career, your reputation, but it can become so dangerous that it actually could be deadly. I'm just giving you that warning. I know of stories where people put their lives online and somebody stalked them and took them out. You know, we have to be careful in this age of technology, what we're putting out there. People are not always your friends online. You know, we have AI, and I'm going to tell you right now, from what I know, is that it's further advanced than what any of us think. And the risks have exponentially increased. Snail mail was not that bad. Okay, I want to get your attention here. Friends with benefits, the right kind, okay? I have your attention now, but good friends do have benefits. They do. Good friends have benefits. God made it that way. There's so many benefits to having good friends and quality friends. And in closing, I'd like to go over a few of those. And this is just a summary from an article I read and some comments that I'm making along the way as well. And it was from the American Psychological Association. This was written by Zara Abrams, and I just summarized some of the things that Zara had written in here. And it was from June 1st of this year, 2023. And I'll read everything here. Volume 54, number 4, titled The Science of Why Friendships Keep Us Healthy. You know, people who have friends are more satisfied with their lives and less likely to suffer from depression. I think most of us know that. When you have friends, you tend to be a little happier, right? A lot happier. They're also less likely to die from issues like heart problems, cancers, autoimmune diseases, and other chronic diseases, and even including suicide. People with strong friendships tend to be much healthier than people who isolate themselves. They have less issues with high blood pressure, anxiety, and depression. The number one reason for people seeking therapy is because of broken relationships and friendships. So it's either through marriages or through friends. That's the number one reason why people seek therapy. So let's make these therapists, let's make them broke. Let's create good relationships. Sorry about that. If anyone is a therapist out there. They actually do good work. People do need help, and I don't want to down that. There's multiple scientific studies that indicate having good friendships are one of the most reliable predictors of longevity, good health, and a satisfying life. And that's also biblical, which we won't go into today. There's lots of scriptures on that. Good friends provide us with stability and joy. God's the best to that, of course. If you're truly a friend of God, you'll have a sound mind, you'll experience joy, peace, and comfort, and it's not like what the world experiences, because when God's Holy Spirit is interacting with friends with God's Holy Spirit, we get a true sense of peace, we get a true joy, and we get a true comfort. There's only a degree that you can have without God's Holy Spirit. That will be missing. You know, friends can make us laugh. Sometimes they can make us laugh so hard we pee our pants, right, Lise? You know, we love to be around fun and lighthearted people, don't we? We have friends that make us laugh, and they make us cry, too. Right? I think I might be crying a little bit later. But that's not always a bad thing, because we share life's ups and downs together. You know, life wasn't designed to be all fun and laughter. You know, the bonds of friendship strengthen us. Through difficult times, there's something about doing it together, isn't there? You know, people with no friends or without quality friendships are twice as likely to die prematurely, like me today, I think. I didn't say Lisa was the one. She was just validating that one of the two of us. Okay, so you have to take this. I did not say that. We can always turn to God as our friend. He'll never allow us to experience more than we can take. God will never do that. He supports you even if others fail you. The support we get from friends in trying times will lift us up and keep the ship and our friendship afloat.